Let's say Bible, start in Matthew chapter 21, read verses 1 through 16, and I wrote Scott D. Stanley. Matthew chapter 20, beginning verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the workers for one denarius, he sent them into his vineyard for the day. When he went out about 9 in the morning, he saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He said to them, "You also go into my vineyard, and I'll give you whatever is right." So off they went. About noon and about 3, he went out again and did the same thing. Then about 5, he went and found others standing around and said to them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one hired us," they said to him. "You also go into my vineyard," he told them. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard told his foreman, "Call the workers and give them their pay, starting with the last and ending with the first." When those who were hired, about 5, came and each received one denarius. So when the first ones came, they assumed they would get more. But they also received the denarius each. When they received it, they began to complain to the landowner, "These last men put in 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, who bore the burden of the day's work and the burning heat." He replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me on a denarius? Pay what's yours and go. I want to give this last man the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with what is mine? Are you jealous because I'm generous?" So the last will be first, and the first last. Maybe soon. We started Sunday with what does the Bible say about entering heaven? And we were looking at chapter 19, and we looked in verse 13 for the end of that chapter. And we looked at 3 different examples. We looked, first of all, the children were being brought to Jesus. And the disciples were upset with that because they thought they were bothering Jesus. And Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Now, think about the innocence of children. You don't have to convince them all about the scientific proofs of creation. You don't have to convince them that the ark is big enough to hold all the different species of animals. You don't have to convince them that the universe is created by God. You just have to understand that, as the old song goes, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. They haven't been calloused by people in the world telling them that what the Bible says you can't believe, it's just made up. You can't believe what those in the past have said. You can't believe your parents. You have to just believe what somebody with a PhD says. Well, Jesus says, "The children, let them come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them." And what this teaches us, that we must come as a child, innocent, accepting the truth of God. Yes, there are explanations for all the world's argument that there is no God and the Bible can't be true. There's not a question in the Bible that God does not answer. I like what one person said when he was witnessing somebody. The person said, I can't believe the Bible is full of mistakes. Name one. I just heard it. Word. The Bible is not mistakes. Is God's truth presented to us. So we see the category of the young children accepting the truth of God and embracing it, not knowing how, all the details, but accepting that truth. Then comes someone that is trying to get to heaven on his own works. The rich young ruler. The rich young ruler is coming to Jesus. He understands that he's not perfect. He understands he's lacking something. He says, what must I do, or what good must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus starts by defining the term for what is good. He says, why are you asking about what is good? There is only one who is good. God alone is good. That's our standard. Now, we have a lot of people that have a different definition of what's good. Well, I'm better than somebody else. Well, that's not God's standard of good. God's standard of what's good is perfection. Only God meets that standard. Then Jesus says, keep the commandments. Which ones? He said. And then Jesus gives the commandments that relate to our relationship with other people. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5 for a moment. And look at verse 6. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Do not have other gods beside me. So, the first commandment, don't have another god. Second commandment, verse 8, do not make an idol for yourself in the shape of anything in the heavens above, or on the earth below, or in the waters under the earth. Do not bow and worship to them, and do not serve them, because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the father's iniquity to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing faithful love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So don't make a false god to worship. Third commandment. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. Don't misuse God's name. That's not just using it as a cuss word, that's using it trivially. Fourth commandment, be careful to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your ox or donkey, any of your livestock, or the resident alien who lives within your city gates, so that your male and female slaves may rest with you. Take 1 day out of 7 to worship God. So these are the first 4. They relate to our relationship with God. The next 6 relate to our relationship with other people. Verse 16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that you may prosper in the land the Lord your God has given you. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony or dishonest testimony against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's wife or desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male or female slave, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So these 6 relate to our relationship with other people. And back to our passage in Matthew 19. These are the ones that Jesus pointed out to the rich young ruler. He said, I kept all these. What do I still lack? He understands that he's still not where he needs to be. And Jesus, after talking about his relationship with other people, the commands about that, he puts his finger on what this man's God really is. If you want to be perfect, Jesus said to him, go sell your belongings and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard that, he went away grieving, because he had many possessions. The rich young ruler knew the truth, but he chose his possessions over eternal life. We have the children that came innocent, accepted. The rich young ruler rejected because there was something more important to him than eternal life. And then we have the disciples. Jesus tells them, after Peter asked in verse 27, "See, we have left everything to follow you. So what will there be for us?" Verse 28, Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, in the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields because of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." The disciples said, "What about us?" They're ones that had abandoned everything to follow Jesus. But they were still focused on themselves. And so Jesus tells a parable that addresses this attitude. What about us, disciples? We're here with you. Aren't we important? And Jesus gives a parable. And he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard." Now, God is the landowner. His vineyard is this earth. And he goes out to hire workers. He goes and he sees people at 6 in the morning. The work day was from 6 in the morning to 6 at night. So your translation would say the first hour, that would be 6. Third hour, 9. 6th hour, noon. The 9th hour, 3 p.m. The 11th hour, 5 p.m. And then the end of the day was at 6 p.m. The landowner went out and hired people. And he said, "I'll give you 1 denarius. And so they went to work. Those he hired at 9, he said, "Go, I'll give you whatever's right." And all the other times, whatever's right. At the end of the day, he says to his paymaster, "Pay them now." Scripture says, for a day laborer, you're to give him his pay at the end of that day. Don't hold it overnight. So the paymaster is told, pay the ones that started last, and then go to the first. So he comes and brings the ones that came working from 5 to 6, and they got 1 denarius. A denarius is equivalent to a day's wages. And then when those that had been hired at 6, they thought they were going to get more. But then they get 1 denarius too. "It's not fair," is basically what they said. "They only worked 1 hour. That's not fair. We should get more." And the landowner said, "Didn't you agree with me for 1 denarius? Take what's yours. Isn't it my money? Isn't it legal for me to do anything I want with my own money? Are you upset that I'm generous?" The spiritual truth that's been being taught here is the denarius is eternal life. The disciples were given the message of how to have eternal life. They were the ones hired at 6 in the morning. And they worked through the heat of the day. There's other people that have worked their entire lives serving God. Other people had made professions of faith on their deathbed. They only worked a short time. The thief on the cross beside Jesus, he was being executed because of his robbery. But he recognized who Jesus was. And he embraced salvation in Jesus Christ while he was on the cross. He only had a few more hours to live. He didn't have long to work. what his testimony goes through to us today. Some people work long and hard, live a long life serving Jesus in various places. Some give their life. Some have borne a burden that we can scarcely understand. But Jesus is teaching here. God wants to give eternal life to everyone. And if you look with me at Luke 19, verse 10, remembering Jesus went into the marketplace, which is where the people wanted to find a job at, all throughout the day. Look at what Luke 19, 10 says. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Jesus is saying, God desires that no one perish, and he goes out and seeks those to bring them to salvation. Come and follow me, and you will have eternal life. Each person, no matter how long you serve God, will get the same reward, eternal life. Now, there's other rewards, crowns that are given for different people, the martyrs, others, but that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about those little children. You disciples, you will both get the same reward in the kingdom of heaven. Because we, who think it's not fair sometimes, well, I've been serving Jesus all my life, and that person, he just only served Jesus for a little while. It's not fair that he gets eternal life. We've got to remember who defines what's fair. Because we do not deserve eternal life. When we say it's not fair, we're saying we deserve something more. No, we don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve eternity in heaven. But God, wanting to be generous, gives it to all who come and serve him. All who enter his vineyard will receive the reward of eternal life. We need to remember that God is generous. There is no one, no age that is too late to receive Christ. There is no age that is too young. If you understand right from wrong, you can accept the forgiveness that God has offered you. The choice is for each individual. The young children and the disciples accepting God's offer and went into the vineyard. The rich young ruler went away grieving. He wouldn't enter the vineyard. We don't know if he later changed his mind and became a believer. We'll find out when we get to heaven. Either he'll be there or he won't. But all those that have worked, be it 1 hour or all day long, will be in heaven. Because God is generous. With his offer of forgiveness to each and all standing before our doors of heaven. Lord, thank you for being generous with us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to enter eternal life because you sought us out and you called us and directed us toward eternal life. Let us go and share with others how they too can receive the forgiveness that we have. In Jesus' name. Amen.